What the bill does is allows, makes it easier for foster parents to adopt children in the foster system. As an attorney, I volunteered for our local family services agency. In the course of volunteering, I served as a guardian ad litem representing children. I also served as an attorney for a parent's for parents in termination of parental rights cases. There were two cases. In these cases, a lot of times you'll see parents who love their children, but who, for one reason or another, a termination of parental rights is warranted. And in many cases, those parents are in a position, those natural parents are in a position where they would willingly give up their parental rights if they could be assured that they would be able to see their children not on a weekly basis, not even on a biweekly basis, but three or four times a year, maybe just twice a year, as those children grew up. And these, in many of these cases, these natural children, despite the problems their parents have, and most of the time we're talking about drug problems, these children love their parents, and their natural parents love these children. And it's heart-wrenching each and every time a judge in our state, if a family court, has to split these families apart and send them to their foster parents permanently with the prospect of never seeing their natural parents again. What this bill would do would allow natural parents to enter into post-adoptive agreements with foster parents or adoptive parents to allow that contact with some limitations, that either party could come to court if, for instance, the natural parents were not living up to their obligations under the agreement. The adoptive parents could shut off contact. If, on the other hand, the new adoptive parents were not allowing access to the natural parents, those natural parents could have their rights enforced. California, I believe, has adopted similar provisions, which led to an, I believe the stat is correct, although Representative from the representative from the Carlson District may correct me on the exact details, 80% increase in foster system adoptions. That is something that I believe should have widespread bipartisan support. It's something which I hope this bill can, if it passed into final law, would allow for more foster system adoptions. With that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them.
The gentleman from Cole has renewed his motion for the adoption of House Amendment 1. Any discussion? Gentleman from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I inquire the gentleman from Cole?
Gentleman from Cole, do you yield?
Yes.
Now, gentlemen, we worked on your amendment specifically in Judiciary, didn't we?
Well, we worked on Representative Carlson, I have to give credit to, brought the bill to the committee, and we did. So we did work on this amendment. It was her bill.
We worked on this concept.
That's right.
And let's make sure the body understands the concept. Under your amendment, nobody has to do anything.
No, this is all voluntary. This is all the situation where the natural parents and the adoptive parents agree that this is what we want
what
to happen.
What you allow people to do is you let adoptive parents, for example, allow the birth parents to visit with, to see, to kind of keep track of how their birth child is doing. But all the responsibility and authority still resides with the adoptive family, doesn't it?
That's exactly right.
All right. So nobody has to be concerned that we're establishing some new cause of action here. All you're doing is helping people get over that hump where even though they know they can't take care of their own child, that letting go is so hard sometimes.
It's impossible for most parents.
Yeah. Although, gentlemen, as you know, I'm against all changes in adoption law because I think when you make the deal, you ought to make the deal. And apparently my view is antiquated, and I am delighted to support both your amendment and the ladies' bill. So thank you, gentlemen.
Further discussion on House Amendment 1. Gentleman from Green, for what purpose do you rise?
Permission to speak from a microphone other than my own.
Please proceed.
May I inquire the gentleman from Cole?
Gentleman from Cole, do you yield?
Yes.
Please proceed.
Gentlemen, I want to walk through this for just a brief little moment. I apologize. First time I've seen it. You know, this hits real close to home.
I know.
Okay. So the first situation where there's kind of an agreement here, and everybody knows, It's almost like an open adoption, which we currently have now. We have open adoptions that are occurring from birth that have nothing to do with the foster system. So up to that point, I'm feeling pretty solid about your amendment. Here's where I get a little queasy, and I'm not saying I'm against. I just need you to walk me through it. And so we create this post-adoptive contract, and I'm the foster-adopt parent. And I say to that parent, you know, I'll let you see your child two or three times a year, whatever we do with that. But then the parent experiences a decline. They're not somebody that I would want my child to be associated with at all. Those are tough decisions. You having been on both sides of them, me having to go through that with family members of my own adoptive daughter. So my question is, although I see the line in there that says you can't break up my adoption, but my question is then what happens to my presumptive parental authority when I decide that because of whatever situation that this adoptive child should not see their natural parent? Whose side of that contract is going to prevail? The post-adoptive contract, which says that I must allow that contact, or the presumptive parental authority that we all experience?
Gentlemen, what I believe will happen is that these contracts will include behavioral clauses that provide that the natural parents, if they're acting in the ways you're talking about, can be actually denied the visitation in the contract. And, of course, any contract can be enforced by suit. By a motion for contempt, which would be right back in the family court.
That was my next question. You foresee these being in the family court always?
That's where I foresee it being. Yes. What it gets at is there are scenarios where even if under existing law, where the natural parents can be told and can trust the foster parents. But when, as an attorney for those parents, you tell them there's nothing that guarantees that once you agree to a termination that you'll still be able to see those kids, most of those natural parents say, heck no, even though we trust them, we're not going down that road. And, gentlemen, let me tell you, TPRs are tough cases to prove.
I agree.
Very tough.
Termination of parental rights, we refer to it in the foster system as the death penalty.
And, that's right.
And that's exactly what it is. It's the death penalty of parental rights. Now, my experience in the foster system was that most TPR was involuntary.
That's right. And they are. And the reason they're involuntary is because we don't have a provision in law like this. I think we'd see a lot more voluntary TPRs. That's been the case in California where they adopted this, where you've got sometimes situations where the natural parents deep down know they're not the right person to care for these
children.
Well,
and it's this very thing that a mother goes through when she decides to give up her child at birth. It's that very thing what you're getting to. Is a parent deciding they're not the best option for their child and making that. My fear, my concern, I guess would be a better way, is when the events change, because I've not come across anything like this in either of my adoptions, either one from birth, which was voluntary, or through the foster system, which was involuntary, where anybody wanted to set up anything but a gentleman's agreement, so to speak.
Well, and I think that's a function of the lack of this option in law today. And, gentlemen, I can't tell you that situation is never going to arise. Mm-hmm. But let's not let, to be trite, the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Sure.
Because the benefits of allowing this, and in so many cases, the benefits of having foster adoption be easier, the benefits of going from a system of involuntary TPR to frequent voluntary TPRs where it makes sense, is worth it.
Gentlemen, I agree. Anything that we can do to get these children, for one, it's a savings to the state, and two, it provides a better opportunity, a better chance for that child to succeed as opposed to timing out of the systems. So with I'm gonna sit down. I appreciate it's a hard subject we're going to approach on Thursday on another bill when you deal with presumptive parental authority. I appreciate you wading into this. Thank you for what you do for FOSS Adopt Children. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Further discussion. Gentleman from St. Louis County, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the gentleman from Urban Coal.
Gentleman from Coal, do you yield?
Thank you for recognizing the urban part. Yes, I do yield.
Please proceed.
My district's probably more urban than yours.
What was that?
My district, new district, will probably be more urban than yours. Go ahead.
Right, urban, right, sure. I can't think of a more, even though we start on a jovial and friendly manner, I'm going to pick up on the representative from the long district, and he talked about the death penalty that exists when you and I and others in this room serve in the juvenile court. Right now, the line is getting fuzzy. And I wonder if you're not setting up an absolute, almost guaranteed conflict in this way. Don't forget that the person giving up the child is usually young, right? 16, 17, 23, 24 years old.
Not necessarily in a TPR. It takes the, when we talked about a TPR being hard to prove, it takes a child being in the foster system for 5 or 6 years sometimes before they get to the TPR point.
There's a year limit now that you have to move toward either termination or reunification. Isn't
well,
that correct?
That's correct, but a lot of times what you'll see is the TPRs are cases of children who have been in and out of foster care 4 or 5 times.
But aren't you setting up an absolute conflict? If you believe as strongly as I do, and particularly the mother-child bond, which appears to be stronger than the father-child bond, although it certainly exists in psychology and other places very strongly, aren't you setting up a problem between the adoptive parents and the guilty TPR'd parents who just can't quite bring themselves to say, I'm going to give up this child, and of course straighten their life out, and that's what we want them to do. Go ahead and finish their GED, get a job, and the next thing is to get that child back that I gave birth to. You are setting up an absolute conflict between that child and the mother, the natural mother, and the love and affection that's being poured on them from the adoptive parents. And I don't see how that can be anything but a detriment, and that's why we talk about the death penalty, because there's nothing... Am I correct? There's no other area of law except in the criminal court area that is so black and white, so life and death, that you are terminating that mother's rights. She'll never see the child again. And you're setting up a never-never world and hoping that the foster parents, who are usually middle class, upper class, and the poor mother, that they're going to get along. Aren't you setting that up with this law?
No, in answer to the question about conflict, that conflict exists within our existing system. So long as we have a foster care system, there is going to be a conflict between the natural parent whose child is with the foster parent.
But
and
the foster parents have no rights. Hold on, gentlemen.
And what we're talking about here is voluntary. And in most cases where I believe this will happen, it's when the natural parent has run out of, has, they're at the end.
Then why not TPR that mother or the father?
Because even in those cases where that natural parent is at the end, you just spoke about the bond between mother and child. There's also a bond between father and child. Even in those cases where that natural parent is at the end of the road, and they've screwed up so many times that they are going to get the death penalty in our adoption system or in our juvenile justice system. Even in those cases, there are still examples, and I would argue it's the vast majority of cases, where if the kid's old enough to know their parents, that kid loves their mom and dad, and their mom and dad still love them. And what we do is we rip them away with the prospect of never seeing their natural parents again. And what this would do would allow a those natural parents to actually get to see their children on a continuing basis after the TPR.
All right. Thank you for your answer. Permission to speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
First of all, I applaud the gentleman for volunteering in the juvenile court. It's a very tough area to practice. I've done a lot of divorce work in my life, and it's almost inevitable when a teenager who's with a mother, and he's a boy, gets to be 11 or 12, he wants to go with the other father, even though he hasn't seen any father in years, perhaps, and vice versa. These things occur regularly in family court. There is no greater catastrophe, it seems to me, in the law. It's only next to the death penalty. And that's why TPR is so important. In my opinion, as much as I praise all the people in this room who have adopted children, that is a wonderful thing to do. But that meant that the natural parents failed miserably that child, so much so that a court found enough evidence to permanently sever that bond. We should not urge more foster care adoptions. I respectfully disagree. We should urge more reunion, more help to a mother who may have had drugs, a father who was an alcoholic, so that the natural family can be reunited. We don't want to make adoption easier, because every time you make adoption easier, you tear a family apart and then try to put it together again. That's why the law is so tough in this area. And we keep trying to fudge it. Well, there's some sentiment between the parties. What you're setting up is a problem between the adoptive parents who want to be in charge, particularly when the kids get to be close to teenage, and the teenagers start playing off the adoptive parents with the natural parents. It happens in divorce cases all the time. It will happen here. This is not a divorce. TPR is something way above and beyond that. I urge us to seriously consider the nice feelings, undoubtedly, that the gentleman from Urban Coal has regarding this, but it really speaks to trouble. And I don't know what goes on in California, and I don't know. I just know that many years in the juvenile court, I see nothing but trouble for this for the adoptive parents, and I see nothing but trouble down the line for the young mother, the young father, who changed their behavior and should be rewarded with a reuniting of their family. I urge the party to vote this down. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.